before we do, we're going to talk about the theme for this week, which reflects on what we did before, which was listening and doing, and brings us nicely into James chapter 2, which is faith without good deeds is dead. Now, this building that we stand in has a history. It used to be a school, and the headmaster and the headmistress used to live in the little cottages either side. This building was donated to the Boys Brigade, and it was donated by people who fought for this country. You can see their names outside on the plaque. And we've had many people in this building that have worked and have shared their faith through good deeds. And many of those were to children. And before we go into today's service, I want us to honour one of those special people who, through her faith, did good deeds, sharing to many children. Her name was Pam Mosley. And she was a very special member of this congregation, and a very special member of the Boys Brigade. Her husband, Ron, was the captain of the Boys Brigade many, many years ago, and we know that Charlie was too. And her son, Ian, is also one of the officers here for the older ones, for the seniors. And Pam has been here many, many years, serving diligently with the anchors, sharing her knowledge and her wisdom when I stood up and helped out, telling me how she did it. She was really good at it. She also was part of the Blackheath Women's, not Women's Institution, but there's a women's group, Women's Guild, that meets here again. I used to see her when I did the, when we used to do life skills. She was a very, very special woman, very dear, very gentle, and a loving heart. Sadly, she's had dementia, and last night at 10:30, she passed away. But she, I believe she went to glory because she loved the Lord. And she showed her love by sharing with so many children about the love of God and all of those stories that I teach the children, that Sue teaches the children. Some people might know her here, some people won't. But her memory lives on. And she stood in this place and she taught the love of Jesus to those children and planted loads of seeds. So before we go on, I just want to just give this today's meeting over to her. And we just bow our heads and pray for Ian and the family. Dear Lord, we thank you for Pam. We thank you for her love and her devotion to you, to her church at St. John's, and also to the children through Sunday school and through the anchors. Thank you, Lord, that she inspired us, that she was a mentor, and she did it with love and kindness. We thank you, Lord, for all the time she stood up and did a Boys Brigade quiz, and she made the dinner, and she fed, and she laughed, and she smiled. And we thank you, Lord, for everything that she did. We pray for Ian and the family as they mourn her. And we pray, Lord, that you will be with them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. So, we're going to carry on through the book of James, but we're going to do it very practically, because prayer and share is practical, and it's fun, and it's important for us to take what is given to us in the word and apply it. So what I want us to do is to reflect on what Alex said a couple of weeks ago and then move forward into faith without good deeds is dead, which is in James chapter 2. So first of all, we're going to go back to James chapter 1. So my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak, and slow to become angry. because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do as it says is like someone who looks in the mirror and looks at his face, and then after looking at it, he goes away. Immediately he forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after the orphans and the widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And then we go on to James chapter 2, verse 14. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, to say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye and have a nice day and stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It's dead and useless. Now, some may argue, some people have faith and others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that your ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened, just as the scriptures say, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called a friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Rahab the prostitute is another example, for she is shown to be right with God by her actions. When she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. It's quite interesting, isn't it? Different take on what we're supposed to be doing. In Ephesians it says, for it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that anyone can boast, for we are God's handiwork created in Christ to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. So it's not by doing good works that you find your salvation, that's not what we're saying here, but by having found our salvation in Christ, we then have a desire to share those good works through the love that we have found in him. And he gives us those good works to do. Because if we start pretending to be good, therefore we boast in ourselves. So we need to be working with our words and with our actions. And that naturally leads us into a life directed towards service and mission. And that is what today's prayer and share is all about. And Sue's going to share with us a poem, And I'm going to share a little bit, and then we're going to find out what God wants us to do.
Isn't it great to hear Steve teaching? I think that's wonderful that we actually experience, normally we're out there, but we're actually witnessing here a young child absorbing the word of God. I find that very powerful in our midst. These are our baton takers. These are our generations to come. These are the leaders of the church to come. So we must remember to pray for them and our youth. So this is just a very short poem. I generally don't read out poetry, but this touched my heart because it told me a little bit about how we can give and serve each other. Servant King, reveal to me the things I cannot see, the road ahead, the work prepared, the person I could be. Help us with simple words to explain the warmth within our hearts that we encountered in that first encounter with your love and grace, the Spirit's flame still burning bright within, that others in their own journeys of discovery might also reach out and touch the hand that's always there and be embraced by love. So fill us with your love, that it might cascade into the ordinariness of our working lives, and for others to experience the warmth of its flow, spreading from our heart, but with words and deeds, an unbroken stream, bringing refreshment to all it touches. You call us to leave all things. You who had nothing. You call us to be servants. You who came to serve. You call us to share the load of each other. You who carried our sin. You call us to speak your word. You who lived it daily. And so you call us to be your followers. And in your strength, I'm going to say that again, and in your strength, we will. Amen. So today, we're really going to start to think. We might already be doing what we call good works. Obviously, with the Spirit in us, we can't do very much without that. It's a bit fake, because we'll come up with an agenda. We'll be going into a deal. What am I getting for what I'm giving? But with the Spirit, we don't ask for that comeback. In fact, we have to test ourselves not to ask for that comeback. But the Spirit will help us to give freely, but not to ask for something back. So let's think about the ways we can really do that during the week and the ways we're already doing it. Let's celebrate what we already do, because I'm sure we do. And also just to remember that Jesus gave everything, but all he asked was for him to be someone to be believed. That he gave his life transactionally for our sin, the burden carrier. So Leanne's going to give just one example of something that she does during the week, but I'm hoping that would inspire you to think of what you do. And if afterwards you want to have a chat after our session today about what there might be that you could do for the church or outside the walls, then come and talk to one of the elders or one of the leaders, and I'm sure someone here can help with that. But we're going to learn from you today. Everyone's going to learn from each other. So Leanne's coming up just for a moment.
So I just wanted to share with you about mission and what it means to do mission and what it means to do good works for God, because this used to eat me up. I became a Christian at 15, and I would see so many people at our church, and I went to a very charismatic Pentecostal church in the 90s, and that you saw so many different people doing so many different things and many pillars of the faith. And I remember there was one missionary that I used to look up to who she was a missionary in Turkey, in Izmir. And I used to look at her when she used to come, and I used to think, I really would love to be like you. I had no desire to go abroad at all. When I went to work and I started to go to London, because Mum and Dad never took us to London, they were always scared of the IRA. When I started going to London, I saw London City Mission every day when I went past on the train at London Bridge. And I used to get really excited because I think, London City Mission, I can do mission in London, that's amazing. And for many years, I would carry on looking to God about what I could do and how I would do it. And I would go to many different conferences and things. And I went to the Hillsong Conference, and I saw Christine Kane, Joyce Meyer, pillars of the faith in my eyes that I looked up to. And I'm thinking, if only I could be like that, if I could have been like that. The trouble was, I was looking at them and I was looking at how they did it. And God was saying to me, how do I want you to do it? See, God plants in other people his desire, but God plants in you his desire for you to do mission. And mission happens in lots of different ways. And this is what I learned. Mission starts where you're at. It starts with how your attitude is towards others. When you go shopping, do you smile at the cashier? If they're having a bad day, you don't know. You smile at them, you're kind to them. It changes everything. That is about your attitude. That is about God's love for that person. It's about saying hello in the morning to people as you walk along the street. If you're in London, that's a crazy thing to do. People don't like that. If you go down to Dorset, everybody says, good morning, hello, how are you? And when they find out you've got a London accent, they call you a crockle. You know? If you go to Manchester, if you go to Birmingham, people are very friendly and chatty. London, not so much. If you sit and smile at somebody on the London Tube, there will be a space next to you. But God has called us to be images of light, carriers of his light and his love. And that's what faith without works is dead means. It's about your attitude towards where you're at. When I worked at M&S, I was called in all the time when there was someone in trouble with HR, with the box of tissues, and I was almost like a chaplain. They'd phone up my boss and they'd say, can you come and can you support? And I would, and he'd say, you've got to go. So I'd go and do it. It's God's calling on my life. I didn't think that at the time. And now, yes, I'm out there. I'm doing it every day in Greenwich. I'm working with Christians Against Poverty, soon to be Community Money Advice. I'm daily being a chaplain to lots of different people. I'm no special. Paul will tell you that. I have my faults. I have my downfalls. And please do not look up to me, because I will fall off that pedestal. It's not about who we are and what we do. Is about the attitude and the humility that we have before God, which is what our scripture for the year is about. It's about being humble. So how do you find out what God is calling you to do? I get very overwhelmed, Paul will tell you this, by the amount of things I do for other people. It wears me down. Steve actually read a scripture which God gave me this week about taking my burden upon you, because it is light. My yoke is light. That's what he said. That's what God has been telling me. One of the other things God has been speaking to me in a book that I'm reading at the moment, which is Slow Down and Show Up, is about being present, being prayerful, and being partnership. It's not somebody else's walk, it's yours. Be present before God. Be yourself. Don't be like me. Don't be like Joyce Meyer. Be like you, because that's who God made you. Be prayerful. Pray. Talk to God. Be honest with him. No convoluted prayers, no special magic words. Just be honest with him. Prayer is a twofold thing. Listen, and that's what we're going to get you to do. We want you to listen to what God is saying to you. And be in partnership with him. Join. Be together. And through doing that, your faith can move mountains. And we see many mountains moved in the work that we do. Yep, it's very practical in its depth. But it's a massive mountain in a lot of people's lives. Go down to the food bank, giving someone food enables them to feed their children. And that's a massive mountain that's moved for them. Putting your arm around somebody and smiling to them when they're really down, no matter how you feel, when you're kind to someone else, it reflects back on you and they see part of what God is. So that's what we want to do today. So Sue's going to come up and share what we're going to do in the two groups and the sorts of things that we want to pray about and the things that we want to hear from God. Okay?
It's a bit like Laurel and Hardy, isn't it? I think I know which one I am. So what we're going to do now is have a real time to think in groups and pray for each other in terms of, welcome Joseph, welcome Jerry, in terms of what we're doing, how are we going at the moment? Are we meeting God daily? Are we thinking of things we can do? Because he calls on us to be creative. What can we do? My neighbour fixed my tyre. You know, that's something he did today that I wasn't expecting. What can we do for each other? And that includes us here. How can we help each other for good works? And beyond that, what can we do in our daily lives? When two of you get together on anything at all on the earth and make a prayer of it, Father in heaven goes into action. And when two or three of you are together because of me, you can be sure that I'll be there. He's here. The Spirit is welcome. So we're going to break into the groups, men and women. We're going to sit around. It might be worth one of us going in there and one of us staying up this end. And we'll have somebody to facilitate that group. Sounds a bit posh, doesn't it? Just means someone there to make sure we don't end up in a punch-up. But we'll give that to the facilitator to deal with. And Leanne is going to go with the women, Steve is going with the men. I'm going to sit over there. We're going to do a swap. So it's now just up to us to do such. So, as I say, if we could perhaps have one group in there, would the women go in there and the men go in here? And Steve will come over, but if we can, you don't need Steve, but just form some sort of area, maybe here, where the men can be together. I think we need to see each other to be able to hear each other. I know it works for me. It might work for some others. Anyway, Clyde, do you want to take the initiative? Seeing as you were in the police force, would you like to form a bit of a circle going on here for the men? We're going to have about 20 minutes and give it a good enough time.